was there. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we will have a time, you know, of praying, you know, for Josiah also. Thank you, Brad, for mentioning it, because it triggered something in my mind as well. And so I do want to have that time, you know, for you there at the end of the service. Moving forward, I just want to kind of mention a few things here with you. First of all, what I do want to mention is we're planning to have a church picnic. It's going to be sometime in the month of August is what we're looking at, you know, or thereabouts. Rodney is kind of putting things together there for us. Thank you, Rodney, for doing that. And we'll let you more details as we get closer. But also, let me encourage you, use this also as an outreach in the community as well. Some friends, neighbors, etc., you know, try to invite them, you know, to the picnic, you know, likewise. So I just want to make you aware of that. You know, more details will be forthcoming. And in light of what Brad mentioned, you know, about, you know, with Josiah going to camp, you know, be in prayer for him and all the campers that will be out as well. But if there's ever a time in your life that you wish to be anointed and prayed for due to a physical ailment that you have or a deep need, please, please, let Brad or myself be aware. And I trust we do have anointing oil up here somewhere. Okay, that's why I want to make sure. I'm not speaking out of turn, you know, because let us know. Because the Bible does say in the book of James, you know, if that any of you is sick, you know, let them call for the elders to pray, to anoint with oil. And I want to make that, you know, aware to all of you likewise. Okay? Well, let's pray. Father God, how we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It reveals marvelous truths of who you are and the journey, Lord, also that you intend for us to be on, because you are, as we learned on Wednesday night, you are that path. You are the way. And you will teach us, and you will guide us, and you'll be with us, Lord, as we continue that journey that we are on, because the reality is we're never alone on this journey. You are with us all the time. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing, for your Spirit who abides within us. Reveal, Lord, new truths to us as well, that we will hear what you have to say to us, and to be able to act upon what you reveal to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Paul's letter to the church of Philippians, a joyful letter indeed. In spite of the circumstances that he was going through, he was able to find and experience joy, because it was joy not coming from him, it was a joy that was coming from above. And we thank you, Lord. So it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What gives you joy? What brings excitement into your life? You know, I can think of several things right now, especially, you know, sometimes, you know, I could spend a lot of time with my grandkids, as I do this past week. And there are certain days, you know, that, you know, I just have a day where I'm just with them for the morning and a little bit in the afternoon, or maybe the all afternoon. And like this past week, it was the entire day from the get-go. And until late at night, almost midnight. And there was that sense of excitement, that sense of adventure, that sense of, exhaustion. You know, I was able to drop them off at home, you know. And, you know, that's how, because the oldest one had to get off to a golf tournament the very, very next day. So he was worried about that. I was going to get him home late. But yet there is that sense of joy that I have the opportunity to be with them and to share with them. As we did have that experience, I kind of shared it with the people on Wednesday night, you know, with a gentleman by the name of Dave, who did not want to hear anything about the gospel, did not want to hear anything about God, due to the fact, you know, that in his own journey that he experienced tragedy. because two of his daughters had passed away in the prime of life. And he questioned, how can God allow something like that to happen? He did verbalize that. And he said, now I don't want your answer because I don't want to hear anything about who God is. But I have been blessed, he kind of said. No. At the moment he said, blessed, you know, I seized upon that, and his eyes, you know, he knew I caught it, and he kind of said to me, he said, I know what you're going to say about being blessed. And I said, yeah, you're right, you know what I'm going to say. He said, well, I don't want to hear it. And I said, okay, all right. I said, but who blessed you? Because I said to him, in a way, you know, paraphrasing, I said, but down deep in your heart, I believe God is working. And I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Okay, we won't. But it provided an opportunity for me to talk to my grandkids about that and the choices that people make in life, you know, good or bad. And we all have choices that we got to make, you know, in life, you know, whether we're going to walk with Jesus or whether we're going to walk away from Jesus. And for them to hear that conversation, and then I was with Landon, the youngest one, a little bit yesterday afternoon, late afternoon, because Braden had a ball game. And so I just asked him, so Landon, I said, what did you think about Dave this past week? He said, I don't know. I said, do you remember the conversation? No, I don't remember much. All I know is he was a talker and he talked fast. I said, well, yeah, okay, you did remember that. And so I kind of give a little bit of hints, you know, with the conversation that we had. He said, yeah, and then he elaborated on it. I knew he knew. You know, I just had to help him out, you know, as far as what he remembered. And I said, now, do you remember why we are praying for Dave? He said, yeah. I said, because, you know, God can work. And he does work in the hearts and lives of people, you know. Doesn't have to, you know, be me, you know, who brings them into a relationship with Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But God uses different people. And I said, God uses you as well, as an 11-year-old. And he kind of looked at me and said, really? He said, yes, really? God works. And then I shared about the other gentleman that we met later in the afternoon when I was busy, you know, cutting a tree down. And he came and finished cutting it for me. And I said, now, do you remember his story? No, I didn't hear much about his story. I said, well, let me help you here a little bit. And so I would help him about, I said, because I've been praying for him. He's my neighbor. And I said, the amazing thing, you know, I said, because he never went to church, you know, and never really made a confession of faith. But I said, do you remember what he said? He kind of gave me that blank stare. I said, remember, you know, how he was on the trail and how he met this young lady that was on the trail as well? They got involved in a conversation. And to make the story short, that eventually, you know, she invited him to a Bible study that she was attending somewhere around Frankstown. And he decided to go to the Bible study. And then he even went on to say, he said, in fact, on Sunday, I went to church with her as well. It's amazing what a woman can do to you. You know, I mean, that's what it did to him anyways, you know, how it just kind of changed his life, his perspective. You know, I said, God uses different people. Then I said to him again, to Landon, I said, and God uses you. Really? I said, yes. I said, it's the importance of prayer. You know, how God will use different people, different means, different ways to bring people unto himself. And that's what gave Paul excitement. That's what excited Paul, was the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There in chapter 1, you know, as we looked at our text there, you know, which we've been going through, about four different times there in Philippians chapter 1, Paul makes reference to the gospel message. You know, he talks about, you know, the idea there, how we're all partners in this together, partnership there in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also talks about the advancement of the gospel. He also makes reference to the faith of the gospel as we look at it there, and the gospel of Christ we read about there. They're all in chapter 1. And I think Paul was doing that for a reason, because he was reminding all these believers, never lose sight of the fact that no matter what's going on in your journey or what is happening in your life, never forget the importance of the good news. the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, never forget that. Never lose sight of that. You know, have that embedded in your own soul and in your own heart as well. You know, as we go out there and to minister to other people, you know, I mean, not all the time you're going to be sharing, you know, the four spiritual laws. Not all the time, you know, you're going to make reference to Romans 10, 9 through 13, especially verse 13, you know, that where it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You know, you'll use those verses, and that's important. You know God's word. In fact, just when we were, Brad was praying, you know, but prior to that, when he was giving some announcements, my mind was kind of going to the book of 2 John, and also there in 3 John. And John happens to say, you know, there's no greater joy than knowing that my children are walking in truth. No greater joy than to know that, and we can personalize that, to know that my children, think of your kids, and think of your grandkids, and think of, you know, other people, you know, that you get to be able to meet and to minister to, no greater joy than to see them with a desire to walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ that is real and very vibrant. And that's why Paul, you know, had so much excitement. That's why Paul was able to experience joy in spite of what was going on in his life and what was happening to him. And there's no greater joy than that opportunity. You know, no matter how bad the day was or how tiring I was, or fatigued, you know, with them, still the joy of being able to share Jesus, or even to pray with them as well. And I remember my wife, you know, years ago with both of our boys. You know, usually, you know, people sometimes think, you know, it's the man's role to lead a child to Christ. Which, yeah, as a pastor, yes. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But also, you know, my wife, bless her heart, you know, she spent time, you know, with the boys, you know, before they went off to bed. And sometimes because I was at a meeting, couldn't be at home at the particular time, and she said, well, maybe I need to wait for Rich, you know, because he's the man of the house, you know, da-da-da-da-da. No, we shared equally, you know, whatever was going on. That was our way of dealing with things, you know, in the house. And when I got home, she said to me, you know, she said, Rich, guess what happened? And with our oldest, she said, I had the opportunity to pray with Brian that he would receive Jesus into his heart, into his life. And many years later, the same thing with little Brock as well, at the time, our youngest son. Likewise, she had the opportunity to pray and to lead him into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we know that there had to be other decisions. I know in my life as well, even though I received Jesus as my Savior, you know, at a very young age, I don't remember the age. I think I shared with you, you know, when it happened, you know, when I was at a youth meeting. And we were singing the song, you know, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But through that experience, you know, I knew that Jesus became very real and very personal. Was that the end? No. Because as my journey continued with Jesus, there were other times. I was the one that every time that the altar call was given, guess what? I made a beeline for the altar. I always did. And I didn't realize it at that time, but God was doing something deeper in me. I didn't put it into words. I didn't understand it. But God knows, because he knows our hearts. He knows our heart's desire. And there's just this desire, you know, as 2 and 3 John says, you know, no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth. No greater joy than this heart of mine wants to walk in truth. To walk with Jesus. And that's what excited, again, going back to Paul, you know, in his letter to the church of Philippi. Because he did say, you know, he said, what excites me, you know, is knowing that you're progressing in your walk with Jesus. Is knowing that you want to be pure and that you want to be blameless, as he says earlier there in chapter 1. And it all happens because of Jesus Christ. And you want to grow in the fruit of righteousness as well. In spite of his circumstances, chapter 1, we're going to get in chapter 2 here, just real quick here. In spite of his circumstances, because Paul had his chains, he had his critics, and he had his crises. But through it all, through those chains, you know, because you have to ask yourself, I mean, reason why I repeat this so much, you know, is because you know what's going to happen? If someone ever come up to you and say, can you tell me what Philippians chapter 1 was all about? Well, yeah. It talks about Paul's chains. Yeah, it talks about Paul's crises. Yeah, it talks about Paul's critics. But no matter what was happening to him, he saw it as an opportunity to know Christ. He saw it as an opportunity that Christ be preached. He saw it as an opportunity that Christ be glorified, be magnified. In spite of the good or the bad that may be thrown out at me, Christ takes preeminence in my soul, in my life, and in my heart. That's basically the essence of chapter 1. And Paul even mentions, you know, he says there towards the tail end of chapter 1. And keep in mind, you know, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't say, okay, verse 28, no, okay, I need to go into chapter 2 now. You know, he didn't have that. You know, just one long letter. And it builds. His thought continues to build because, as you see there in towards the end of chapter 1, as we have it, he says to them, not only do you believe in Jesus, but also you are going to suffer in the name of Jesus as well. And I believe, you know, there's a reason for suffering. That sometimes, as much as we don't like to suffer, I think the majority of us that is here right now, we really don't like to be in a lot of pain. You know, I'm one of them. You know, I have a low tolerance for pain. My wife always said, you know, Rich, you're a big baby. In a nice way. I miss all those sarcastic remarks that she would kind of make to me. Because, you know, sometimes I'd be outside, you know, working furiously and working hard and knowing with the back issues that I was having, you know, and so forth, you know. And I would go in the house, you know, knowing my wife, bless her heart, she knew that I was, you know, out there working hard. And I would walk in there, you know, and she would look at me and she would simply say, well, don't expect any pity from me. You know, if I'm belly aching, you know, because I have a lot of pain. I did it to myself. But through all that, you know, but still, Paul says, you know, because God is able, and I believe the reason why, I mean, God's not the author of suffering and he's not the author of pain. But it does happen. I believe God permits it to happen as well, to conform us to the very likeness of Jesus Christ. God is able to take suffering, as he's reminding these people there towards the end of chapter 1. He's able to take your suffering. He's able to take your pain. He's able to take your heartache. He's able to take your struggles as well and to transform it into what he wants you to become. I mean, I know Landon, you know, yesterday, Landon doesn't really get into ball games. He's more into, you know, playing in a river, playing with rocks, you know, or stuff like that, you know. And so we're just kind of sitting there, and he just kept saying, I'm bored. I'm bored. When's this game going to be over with? I'm bored. Those of you who have children, have you ever heard those comments? Yeah, kind of say, yeah, let me tell you. It's endless, you know, that they keep saying. I said, Landon, I said, what would you like to do right now? Well, I don't know, but I am bored. Okay, that doesn't help me any here. I said, I know you kept mentioning about going down to the river. I said, would you like to do that? Yeah. And he made this comment. He said, you know, I could go down the river by myself, but it's no fun going by yourself. Just no fun at all. And I said, well, how about if Pap decides to go down with you? Would you? Sure. I said, let's go. He said, what about the game? I said, well, you know, it's all right. You're important right now. Let's go down. Okay. So off we go down to the river, you know. And he was hoping to find some stones, and all we found was mud. And he was so tempted to step into the mud. And I knew what his mother would say, you know, if I allowed him to do that. And of course, she said, on our way, she said, now, whatever you do, don't get into poison ivy. And I just said, yeah, we're going to roll in it. Well, I don't know why I said that. But anyway, you know, it's almost like I said, duh, I was born yesterday. But because he likes to explore, you know, he likes to get out there, you know, in the game. And we stayed down there for a little while, you know, and then we were able to come back, you know. But it kind of provided for him that sense of fulfillment, you know, that Pap was able to take him on a journey of his own, of where he is at. And of course, we got back to the routine, you know, I'm bored. I said, Landon, did you ever think, you know, that maybe God is preparing you for something? Like what? I said, well, maybe patience. Really? I said, yeah, it's funny, you know, just, I mean, I'm not laughing at him. It's just comical. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, are we any different with you, our Heavenly Father? You know, we're sitting, you know, there in the chair, you know, watching a game, you know, that we're really not interested in. Or maybe we're watching something's going on in our journey, you know, we're really not very much interested or maybe upset about, because we're experiencing it right now. And God is saying to us, but my child, I'm sitting right here with you. I'm allowing this to happen to you. Your pain, your suffering, your agonizing moment because you don't want to be here at this game. I love you so much. Maybe I'm teaching you to be more patient, to be more kind, to be more generous, to be more loving, to be more understanding, to be more compassionate. Think about the suffering that you may be going through and the pain, as I have in the journey that I've been on, you know, with my wife, with her passing, the pain, the hurt, and the questions, and to realize that God is doing a work. As he said that to the church of Philippi as well, that God is doing a work in your life. And he's doing a work in my life. He's never through with us. God never says to us, well, do you think it's about time you retire? Retirement's not in his vocabulary. Now, just because y'all said to ask me to stay here for the next 10 years, you know, I'm just told with God's work. He's always working, encouraging us, spurring us on. You know, folks, for such a small church, I want to encourage you. God is doing a work here. I think sometimes we don't see it. We want to see it. We base the work, I think, sometimes on numbers. I mean, numbers could be okay, but I believe he's doing a work within you. I mean, when I hear, you know, you had what, 24, 25 ladies? That's, for a church's size, that's good. That's excellent. That's almost practically 100% when you think about the attendance of the church here. And what really blows me away is prayer meeting nights. Well, we have about 10, 12, 14 maybe at the most. I think Mike shared with me, if everybody showed up at the same time, we'd have probably about 30 or 35 people, I think Mike kind of said, you know, sometime back here. You know, I don't want to be focused on numbers, okay? Because I want to be focused upon Jesus and his work that he's doing. And sometimes he does allow hard times. He permits it. But never to lose heart. Because I believe what's happening here, as we focus upon Jesus, because that's what Paul started out in with Philippians chapter 1. Again, keep in mind, this is one long letter. But for our sake, it's chapter 1. The focus is Christ. Then he moves to the focus of others. Making you realize, okay, Christ is doing a work. Christ is being lifted up. Christ is being magnified. He's being exalted. Now, with what Christ is doing in you, let your focus be on others. And that's where we begin in chapter 2, verse 1. I know the NIV uses the word if. The word if in the Greek, and I don't use Greek words all that much. I never was really a Greek scholar. I thought it was just some guy that worked at a Caesar's pizza place, you know. But I never really was, you know. I wasn't. But I pick up every now and then a Greek word. The Greek word is a. E-I. A. Not A-I. Okay. Not that stuff that's out there. But a. And it has also the meaning since. S-I-N-C-E. Since. And it's almost like what Paul is saying, you know, it's not hypothetical, if. But in the correct language, with the Greek, since you've experienced encouragement from Christ, being united with him, and since you have experienced comfort in his love, and since you've experienced the fellowship of the Spirit, and since there's been tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Since all this has happened to you, not a matter of if, hypothetically, but since this has happened, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the faith that you have in Christ Jesus alone, and with that faith that you have in Christ, and even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the struggles that not only you have experienced, but Paul also, since I have gone through it as well, Christ makes a difference. Christ is enough for the journey that we are on. He is sufficient for all things. Grasp a hold of that. Because he comes alongside at times to bring that word of encouragement. He provides the comfort that is needed. And when he provides that comfort and when he provides that encouragement, you know, then there's that tenderness and that compassion that comes out because you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you because you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you declared your faith in him. According to the gospel message of Jesus Christ who set you free, the Holy Spirit abides in you. So when the Holy Spirit abides in you, there is that tenderness down deep in your soul. Even with Dave that I met, you know, this past week, you know, he says he didn't want to hear, but yet down deep in his soul, I believe there's tenderness and there's compassion. But it's stopped. It doesn't want to come out. It's almost afraid to come out because of his refusal to believe. But I believe it's there. And I've talked to a few others as well, and I'm picking it up more and more in our journey. You know, there is that tenderness and compassion that comes out that God wants to exemplify and bless other people as well. That's what God's saying to us today, you know, as a church. Let it come out of your life, that tenderness. Let that compassion, let that gentleness come out of your life as you are in fellowship with the Spirit of the living God. Because Jesus is he not? He is the what? The gentle shepherd. Now, there are times when Jesus let his voice roar. But I find Jesus to be very compassionate and very tender with the sinner. That we were all sinners, saved by grace, the saying is. Where we sin less and less and less and less. Because Jesus is in the business of setting us free. Absolute freedom. We had, you know that I have a men's group that we meet. We pray. And to know that indeed that as we pray and we hold on to the gospel message and the truth that we find in Jesus Christ, he releases us. And as one prayed this past week for the blood to be applied, even on my house as well, because there were certain issues, became more aware of things to relinquish into the hands of Jesus and to trust Him. And when we trust Him, it's amazing how God's Spirit begins to work in that compassion and in that tenderness that He wants us to exemplify. Since all this is happening to you, the tenderness will come out of you of Christ Jesus. And as we think about that, because He goes on to say, verses 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Others. Don't be vain conceited. Don't be selfish. Think of others. Who would be the others in your life? Now, when we think of that, sometimes I get in the trap of thinking, you know, others. Let's see, could it be with the people that I work with? Could it be with the people that I see at the doctor's office or the therapist? You know, I'm always thinking, how about the person that you sit beside? Oh, really? Her? Him? Yeah. Yeah. Think of them more than yourself. Well, she doesn't understand me. And he doesn't understand me. And all she does is nag, 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 nag. And I'm tired of hearing the nagging all the time. You know, it's like a dripping faucet, you know. You want to take a gun and shoot. No, can't say that. Sorry. Got to be careful. You used to be able to say things like that. Now you can't say things like that anymore. But you hear what I'm saying? Think of others more than yourself, more than your own selfishness, more than what you want. You know, sometimes I kind of say, oh, I want someone who's more understanding. I want someone who can really care about me. And Jesus says, well, I think it begins with you, bud. Why don't you be more caring? Why don't you be more understanding? Why don't you be more loving? Why don't you be more tender? Why don't you be more forgiving? Don't think of wanting that from the other person, but you set the precedence. And as we move in that direction, Paul gives us four examples. Say, well, that can't be done. Yeah. Paul says, oh, yeah. Jesus is the prime example who thought of others, who came to serve and not to be served. Paul makes reference to himself being poured out as a drink offering, pouring out his life. Thinks of Timothy, as it's mentioned here in chapter 2. Young Timothy had a genuine interest in others. In Epaphroditus, there towards the end, I think it's the last verse in that chapter, he almost died. Obviously, his health wasn't the best, but he still thought of the church. And even Paul knew that he despaired of life so much one time, as we read about in Corinthians. But what kept him going was his love for the church, because of the love that he experienced from Christ Jesus. So what do I do with this encouragement that I receive from Jesus? What do I do with this comfort? What do I do with the idea that the Spirit of God is ministering to my soul and to my heart and revealing wonderful truths to me? What do I do with all that? Express it with tenderness and with kindness and with gentleness to the person that I bring into your life. And maybe it begins right in home, at home. And I know sometimes it's exasperating raising kids. Believe me, I know. I had two boys. Thank God they're old. And of course, the one has kids of their own. And I know. And I love being a grandparent. You can love the kids to death, you know, and you can spoil them rotten, and then you can send them home. You know, that's the great part, you know. But I understand. I understand that. Sometimes you're about ready to scream and you're about ready to pull out your hair, thinking that will they ever get it? Will they ever understand? Let me assure you, they will. Because I have both of my boys tell me, do you remember when? And some of the antics that they did without us knowing about it, they finally told us, and then they're telling me about it as well. They told us, you know, yeah, we, no, I better not say that, you know, because I don't want any young kids to do the same. So, you can ask me afterwards as far as what they did. But yeah, I trust you get the picture of what Paul is saying. There was just so much joy that Paul had. In spite of his hardship, and in spite of his pain, in spite of his suffering, he didn't look at it as a woe is me or having a pity party, but he looked at it as a means to advance the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Use it as a means to encourage others in their journey, that they'll experience the comfort of God and be genuine about their tenderness and compassion in a hurting world that we live in today. All because of Christ. May he make you a blessing. Now, Josiah has been a blessing to me. In some ways, some things that he mentions every now and then kind of reminds me when I was his age. And I'm saying he's going to become a pastor, okay? Only God can reveal that to him. But just certain things that he mentions, I thought, oh boy, I can identify with that. I know where he's coming from, you know. And I hear him. And only God knows what lies ahead for Josiah. Our responsibility, I think you ought to be excited by the fact, you know, that here's a young man willing to serve the Lord, to be used of God, passionate about his desire to walk with Jesus, going off to camp to face the teens. Whoa, that's scary. But he's willing. And who knows, you know, God can reveal, and I know God will. He has ways of working, of revealing new and wonderful truths to us in the journey that we're on, whether it happens there or here. Only God knows that. Our responsibility is to pray. God's will be done. And as we do pray, the Holy Spirit in turn can say, well, I know what you're asking for, but, you know, I got a better way of presenting it to the Father. And that's not to minimize what you pray for. But I'm glad. I am glad. I told someone this past week, you know, because he was sharing with me about his prayer for his mother. And I told him, I said, you know, sometimes it's really, it is hard to know what to pray and how to pray for someone who's close to you. I experienced that with my wife. I said, but I take comfort in knowing that the Holy Spirit who is in me, he intercedes. And when words aren't adequate, or words are void, the Holy Spirit prays because he knows the heart. And so, with that in mind, before we close with our song, which is Make Me a Blessing, I'm going to have Josiah come, and we're going to lay hands. Brad, you're being a dad, you're going to come too, and we're going to pray for him as we send him off. Brad, you being a dad, I'll have you pray first, and then I'll close. Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you call us. Thank you for your size willingness to respond in the day of your voice. Mm-hmm. Lord, just
Father, you have said that I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you are to go. I will guide you with my all-seeing eye. And Father, we believe that not only have you done this for Josiah in the past, you're doing it in the very present, and you will continue to do that in the future as well. You will continue to instruct. You will continue to guide. You will continue to watch over him with your all-seeing eye, that he will know down deep in his heart and his soul. He will recognize, he will know that you are clearly speaking to him, that you have a perfect plan for him. A plan, Lord, that involves things that goes beyond our wildest dreams. But Lord, that he'll be obedient, and I know and I believe that he will. The enemy may come against him, but there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. And that, Lord, that his focus will be primarily upon you. And as he goes and ministers to these teens, for these young men, Lord, they're on a journey. They're on a path. Give Josiah the wisdom, the words, or just a listening ear as one shares with him about their journey that they're on. And if there's a word of knowledge, if there's a word of comfort or encouragement, Lord, that you wish for him to express, that the Spirit of the living God who abides within Josiah's heart and soul, those words will come out. And we thank you, Jesus, that he'll be so led by your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us all stand and we'll sing together, Make Me a Blessing.